Wow, what a wonderful day so far. I hope over the last week that you've been able to prepare your hearts for today. You know, I don't know if for you, but I can tell you that at different points in the week, you know, the enemy wants to come and distract, doesn't he? I mean, today is a very special day for us to be able to worship and praise God. It's almost like a restart for our lives as we sit back and we think about what God has done for us. Sometimes we just lose track of that. And today, a day like this is one of those days where we can just restart. Lord, we're celebrating your death and resurrection, and specifically the resurrection today, and how he's made us brand new. Who needs a restart today? Well, I know this week has been a challenging one. At different times, the enemy's just tried to get our attention as a family off of the real point of worshiping Jesus. And we have to be aware of those things, don't we? And I thank the Lord for last Sunday preparing our hearts to prepare for this week. And because it made me sit back and think about, Lord, am I preparing? How am I preparing? Make me right, Lord, before you so that I can worship you with in spirit and in truth. And so hopefully that was a part of your journey this week. But hopefully not through some of the strains that we went through. But the good news is that the enemy wants to distract, and we're in a spiritual battle, but our God is victorious. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that we can come today and worship you in spirit and in truth, and we can do that because of your death and resurrection from the dead. You have given us new life that we can live abundantly here on this earth, because of your spirit who lives within us, Lord. You have changed our direction from eternal destiny of departing from you into hell, into now, into relationship, and into your glorious presence, Lord, is where we will be for eternity worshiping. Isn't that wonderful, church? Lord, we thank you for bringing us into your body to be one with you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And God's children said, amen. Today we're going to be joining in Matthew 18, 10 through 14. So if you'd like to stand and read that with me, you're more than welcome to do that. Lord, prepare our hearts. Matthew 18, 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 90 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones would perish. You may be seated. Lord, I thank you for your word today. May it transform our minds and draw us into a deeper relationship with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, have you ever lost something that's important to you? I have. And if you're like me, you search for it and you search for it and you search for it and you think about where in the world is it. Lord, help me figure this out. Where did I put it last? I need to find this. Help me, Lord. You just search for it and you search for it until you find it. At least until you hope you find it, right? But that's because it's worth it. It's worth finding it if it's that important to you. Well, we're no different in God's eyes. We're worth a great value to him. So he's relentless in his seeking out of us. He wants to find us and reach out to us and come to us. And that's what he did on the cross, isn't it? We celebrated Christmas and Emmanuel, God with us. He came to earth. He sought us out when we were lost. And he came and he presented himself to every single one of us. Here, 2,000 years ago, over the centuries, and into the future, he'll be continually presented himself on the cross for us, that he came out and he sought out those who were lost. He was relentless to the point where he took your and my pain, your and my sin, and placed it on him, the Holy One, the one who knew no sin, the one who knew perfect love, and said, I'll be separated from that. When he cried out on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? The torturous pain that could be, I couldn't even imagine. But he did that for you and me. He was relentless in it. He knew when he came, Emmanuel with us, he knew when he came that that was going to be his destiny, to die for you and me, to give us that opportunity so that we can be with him forever. That's the relentless love, the pursuit of our God. I don't want you to forget that part for the rest of the message. His relentless pursuit for us. He loves creation. In John 3:14, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Now, if you remember back into the scripture, back in the Old Testament, when the serpent was raised, the people of Israel had to look at the serpent and they would live. If they didn't, they would die. And it was all based on faith. It says, look at this thing over here on this standard, the serpent up there. Look at it, and that pole, if you look on it, you live. If you don't, you die. All about faith. If you didn't look, I don't believe what God said. Okay, you're dead. You believe in what God said, I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to live. So Jesus is bringing Nicodemus back into that understanding and that memory of that. And then he continues, he says, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So whoever that symbolic of who was going to be raised up on the cross, who's going to be the Messiah, you look to him, you have eternal life. If you believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes is not in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has already been judged because he has not believed in the name and the one and the only begotten Son of God. We see God's heart here. You're already in a direction of damnation, and I've come to save you. That's my purpose, because I love you. I'm reaching out to you. I want you to be with me. That's God's heart. If you hear anybody say anything different of God's heart, they are not telling you the truth. God's heart is for every single person to come to know who he is. You know, faith, believing that what God did for humanity on the cross, that he took that punishment, that's what he desires for us to understand. For anyone who believes in Isaiah 53:6, again, all of us have, like sheep, gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. That is the freedom that we have of the judgment that we were going to get was placed on Jesus on the cross. What freedom is that? That's what Jesus came to do. I came to give you freedom and life because I love you. I've come for you. I want you to know that. But this whole idea of believing when he's talking to Nicodemus is not just believe that I did this and that's fine. But belief in the scriptures is you come to know who he is. And because you come to know who he is and accept who he is, there's a surrender and a lifestyle change. In the garden, Adam and Eve, they tried to do it on their own. Don't eat from the tree. Well, I think I might have a better idea of how to handle life. So they ate from the tree. They were disobedient. And death came. Now, from that point forward, there was, I won't surrender my life to God. I'm going to try to live my life. I know God's there, but I'm going to kind of live my life the way I want to because that's just what I do in a sinful flesh. We do what we want. And down at the core, we don't want to submit to God. But Jesus came to give us a freedom that we can now live for God by his Spirit, and he set us free from this. So faith in the New Testament is, in the scriptures, is that I believe, therefore I submit, and I follow Jesus. and I walk with him the best I can on this journey. And the good news is that he gives us the Holy Spirit to walk with us on this journey. So there's that transfer of life, of my life to his. Now today's passage, we're going to share, Jesus is sharing with the disciples about God's purpose of sending the Messiah here. In Matthew 18:10, we'll start there. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see my face. Sorry, let me read that again. So that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, who is Jesus referring back to? It goes back to verse 1. At the time of the disciples came to Jesus, and they were saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a child to him and set him before them. So Jesus brings this child. Who's the best? Who's the greatest out of us disciples? Who should be, who do you think will be the one that might be closest to you, or the best one? You know, I've been with you from the beginning, Jesus. Shouldn't I be? You know, I listen to you. Shouldn't I be? I do more than Matthew over there, the tax collector that you got over here. You know, I had a better life than him, and I might even listen better than he does. I get up early in the morning and pray when you go out to pray in the morning. Who's the best here? There's this attitude of exclusionary attitude. Exclusivism, if that's a word. We'll make it up if it isn't. I like it. And who should be rewarded because of that and rewarded well? They're looking for a reward. Who's going to be one that is well kept because of their dedication? So Jesus continues to teach to them a deeper truth and the understanding about what the kingdom of God is like. So he brings that child up, one who is humble, dependent, who's weaker. Because they're not very strong yet, are they? Children are, they don't have the muscles. They don't have the strength. Don't we often feel that way? You know, kind of weak. Kind of humbled by that. Dependent. We try to be independent in America. We try to be, I can do this on my own, but really, can we really do it on our own? We're not meant and designed to be that way. But Jesus wants the disciples to look and say, look, hey, this child, one who is humble, dependent, they need an adult to take care of them. This is going to be my example of what is going to be great in the kingdom. One who needs me. Verse 11, the Son of Man has not come to save that which was lost. I'm sorry. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains to go and search for the one straying? I think it's interesting that Jesus takes the child who's humble, dependent, weak, and he picks a sheep who's humble, dependent, and weak compared to the predators that are around. It's not going to last very long if a wolf comes up, or we know the coyotes around here. They'll be torn to shreds, won't they? They need the shepherd to guide them and direct them. They are dependent. So Jesus takes the child and he takes the sheep and he compares the two. But then he says, not only that they're needed, they need him, but that he's pursuant. He's persistent and enduring. The shepherd's going to go after the sheep because he loves them. He wants to take care of them. That's God's heart. He wants to take care of you. Do you believe that? Or do you believe like you're living life on your own and God is disconnected from you? Because it's not true. He wants to take care of you. He wants to walk through life with you. He wants this. That's why he's pursuing us. That's why he died on the cross, so he can come, so we can have that opportunity to walk with him daily with him. I think it's also interesting that we note that the sheep has no people group or background. It's a sheep. They're around the world. It's not the European sheep. It's not the America's sheep. It's the world's sheep. Jesus came and he says, here, this sheep is representative of anybody in the whole world. Representative of your neighbor, representative of your family, representative of somebody that we have never even met across the seas, representative of your enemy, representative of whoever you can place, you can picture, that's what the sheep represents. And Jesus would seek after that sheep until he would find it. Now, initially, the people would have thought, okay, Jesus is talking about the people of Israel because we're related to, we're compared to sheep. In Jeremiah 50, verse 6, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, and they have made them turn aside onto the mountains, and they have gone from the mountains to the hill and have forgotten their resting place. So the people of Israel were compared to sheep because they left the presence of God and said, well, we'll go somewhere else, their resting place in the Father, to something else. And they were led astray, and they left. They were compared to sheep. So the disciples, as they're listening to this, thinking, wow, you know, Jesus is talking about the people of Israel. And also mentions these lost sheep in verse 10. The 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, and this is in Matthew 10, do not go into the way of the Gentiles or into the cities of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. So even Jesus, prior to this event, are talking to the disciples, well, when you go share the gospel, this good news, go to the people of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles at that moment. And as you go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So at first glance, Jesus looks like he's saying only go to the Jews because they're the only ones who have the opportunity for salvation. But that's really not what's taking place here, because there's two things that are occurring. The chosen people of God that will have the Messiah come, they're the blessed nation. That's the people of Israel. They should have the first opportunity to anticipate, because they've been anticipating God coming. They've been anticipating the Messiah. So go to them first, because they should understand. The Gentiles won't understand just yet. Go to the children of Israel, the lost sheep. Talk to them first, because they are looking for the Messiah to come. And then the deeper truth is that true Israel are those who believe in God. The ones who have, by faith, trusting in God, we have become friends of God. James 2:23 says that the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. In Genesis 15:6, then he believed in the Lord and reckoned to him as righteousness. In the Old Testament there. So as we come to know who he is, and we take that belief of faith in him, and we follow him, we learn that this is a journey throughout life, that we learn how to trust him a little bit more and a little bit more, and grow deeper in that relationship with him, as Abraham did. But those are the deeper truths that he's telling the disciples, that yes, go to the chief people of Israel first, but in the end, it's anybody who's going to believe. They're the actual children of God. Verse 13, if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which had gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father, is it not the will of the Father who is in heaven that the one of these little ones, that not one of these little ones would perish? Now the will of God we see here is that he wants everybody to know again. That is a theme that just over and over and over and over again. I want everybody to know who I am. I want everybody to know that your eternal destiny is supposed to be with me. It's supposed to be that way. I want you to know that I have come. I've presented myself. I have pursued. I have presented opportunity for life with me. I don't want anybody to perish. 1 Timothy 2:3. For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus who gave himself for the ransom for all. God's heart. The reason why we celebrate today is because God's heart didn't exclude us from the people of Israel. He said, I want all the nations to know who I am. I want everybody to know. And the Gentiles we accept through by faith. And in Matthew 15, 21, it talks about a woman who has turned to Christ for help. In verse 21, Jesus went away from there and withdrew from the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he did not answer her word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. But he answered and said, I was only sent to the lost of the house of Israel. What does Jesus mean here? We know the people of Israel were considered the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus says to go out and share with the lost sheep of Israel. But then Jesus is beginning to make a transition for the disciples. And will they get it or will they not? Not really sure just yet. But he says, I'm here to seek out the lost of the house of Israel. I think it's interesting to point out at this moment, Jesus doesn't say, you're right, guys, just send her away. Get rid of her, please. I am not here for her. He tells them very pointedly and yet subtly, for the house of Israel, those who believe, is the deeper truth he's going to share with the disciples. Because they're exclusive, exclusionary. It's just about us. It's about the Jews. It's not about other people. Jesus, you're for us, and let's just hold you together. Let's just hold you back from everybody else. You know, as I look at that, I think, you know, how do we hold Jesus back from people? You know, Jesus is my Savior. He's mine. And he's good for me. Do we hold him back from people? You know, if Jesus' heart is to go out and share him to, he was persistent and relentless to come out for us, should we not also be that way? But do we hold him back and do what the disciples did and call and say, well, you know, hey, just get them away from me because I don't want to be bothered? Can we do that sometimes? You know, if Jesus would have agreed, he would have sent the lady away. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. She comes in honor and respect and the acceptance of this Jewish man who has the power of God. She came and bowed down before him. It's an amazing. And he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Jesus tests and demonstrates her faith to the disciples and anybody else who's watching. He's challenging her to see, what do you truly believe about me? Do you truly believe that I will even help you? And why should I? Very important questions. He's challenging her thought process on, what do you believe my character is? Because you need my help. So you're challenging my character of who you really think I am to help you, and why should I do that? It's beautiful. But she said, Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which have fallen from the master's table. What a great humble place that she comes from and says, No, don't set me up in the place of the table where the people would be, but I will be a dog as long as I get a little bit of you. Just give me a little bit of you because I am desperate for just a little bit. Because I know just a little bit of you will be everything for me. Everything. Question we need to ask ourselves, do we want a little bit of God? Is that little bit that we go to for him, is it everything to you? How much of God do you want? He leaves it totally up to you. Absolutely up to you. Her response is absolutely precious, it is sweet, and it is humble. Full of respect towards Jesus, who being a typical Jewish teacher would not interact with a Gentile like this. There wouldn't have been this love relationship between the Gentiles and especially the Canaanites. Back in Genesis 24, I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites who live in the land that I live. Why? Because they would worship other gods and they would lead the people into idolatry, into those gods. So it was a little safety net because they worship a different God. I want you to be focused on me. Stay true to who I am. So don't marry the Canaanites. In Exodus 23, for my angel will go before you and bring the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. So there was a promise. I will destroy the Canaanites. Well, things didn't happen that way, and because of different reasons, the Canaanites were still there. So this Canaanite woman is here. God would completely destroy the Canaanites. Okay, and she's coming to a Jew who their God represents destruction for this people group. That's pretty amazing. Jesus must have been so different that she said, he has the answers of life. Their God has the answers of life. My gods, my idolatry, my what I worship doesn't have power because my daughter's demon-possessed. And nothing I've tried has even worked. So I'm going to the one who I've seen bring deliverance. I'll go to their God. So she's coming and saying, I submit to your God. Does she believe that Jesus is God at this point? I don't know. But I know that she believes that he has the power of God, the God of Israel, the one that wanted to destroy her people group. It's an amazing. Because if that is true in her heart, could he not say, fall down and die if he has the power of God? Could she not be rejected? Absolutely. And Jesus, he responds to her accepting her faith. He builds this bridge of understanding for those who believe in the Son of God. Well, let me jump back. In verse 28, and Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. She stood through the test. And she didn't walk away. And Jesus rewarded her for her humbleness, her acceptance of he being representative of the God of Israel and the one who has power, the one that's the Messiah for the Jews. And would he even accept me? And we see God's heart. I have come for the world. Disciples, do you see this? I haven't just come for the people of Israel. I have come for the world. Look at me extend out to this woman who is a Canaanite, who was your enemy, who was the enemy of God because they worshipped other gods. If they turn to me, I accept them. I have reached out and I have come, and they will find out in days to come that he died on the cross for the sins of that woman, not only just theirs. So Jesus builds this bridge of understanding. For in Galatians 3:26, for you are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith, her same faith, you are life. You're the only one who has the answers to life. Your God is the true God. I come to you in faith. This same faith made her become a friend of God. Made her become a child of Israel. Verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, according to the promise. We, who have accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you have become children of Abraham. The song we sing as children You might have sang, Father Abraham. This is where we get that song from. We can call Abraham father because he is the father of the faith of becoming the friend of God, and we become friends of God because of our faith in Christ. Now for the believer, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves, because it's a gift of God. And we celebrate that gift today. We celebrate the gift that we can rise up early in the morning. Monday, Thursday, we had the service. The lights went down dim to nothing. The candle was blown out. Death. Our iniquity placed on Christ. We get up early in the morning, if you're able to come out to the sunrise service, to bring life, to celebrate life that was given back again. Life. Light. The candle is lit again for eternity. We celebrate this. Has nothing to do with what we could have done. It's everything about God's love for His creation. His reaching out to us, not just the Jewish people, but to the whole world through the chosen people, Israel. Jesus uses us to meet others. Just like He met the Canaanite woman and she came to Him, He uses us to meet the other's needs. The Holy Spirit was sent to live within us, wasn't He? Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If you are a child of God and you, God, I love you. I want to worship you. I want to live for you. I need you. If that is your cry, He has sent His Holy Spirit to live within you, that you can cry out, Abba, Father. Father, I need you. I need your help. In this journey that we walk, we need His help every single moment of the day. Isn't that true? And that's what we stumble through life sometimes. But the Holy Spirit is in our life, which makes us become a witnesses to the world. Your testimony that you get to share of how God met you. Today we talked about on the road to Emmaus, how Cleopas and his friend, they saw, their eyes were opened. Jesus, you're alive. Could you imagine that at that moment? You did if you came to know Jesus. There was a moment that you had, that your eyes were opened, that you received Christ, and your life was changed. And you might be on that journey, and that journey, God peels back and He shows just how much more He has to offer us in this relationship that we have with Him, and we grow deeper and deeper in love with Him, don't we? The more we spend time with Him, the more we seek Him out, the more we desire Him, He produces that. He even produces the desire to want Him more. He just draws us into His presence. Acts 1:8 says, you've received, but you all will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all Samaria, in the remotest parts of the world. God is seeking the lost, brothers and sisters. Just as He was relentlessly coming and died on the cross, and He was persistent in pursuing us, He is still pursuing and persistently reaching out. How? Through you and me. What a privilege this is. What an honor and what a purpose He's given to us. You know, as I was thinking this morning, I wrote a note here. It says, He is actually living through us if we look past ourselves. And that's the key. If we look past ourselves and our inadequacies and our desires and our passions and what we want and live in this truth, our lives will be lived differently. When we get up in the morning and when we talk to our kids or our wives or our husbands or we go into work, and if we have the picture of, okay, it's not really me, look past who I am. Jesus wants to pour out. The words that are going to come out, Lord, may they be your words. Past me. submitting, letting him speak out. Lord, what it does is opens up opportunities for who you're going to bring into my path today. Because you're pursuing somebody, and I'm allowing you to do that now. Who do you want me to speak with? Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want to say, Lord, to them? If we can look past our inadequacies, our weaknesses, our insecurities. And my prayer for each one of us, and my prayer for myself especially, is, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, when I go into the store, help me not to get too sidetracked with the food I need to pick up that I miss the person that's right next to me that you want me to say something to. And what do you want me to say to them? Because we're challenged by this thought all the time. I'm so busy, I got to do this, I got to do that. I don't have time to make a deep conversation with somebody. So I might just say, hey, great, hey, good, hey, nice to meet you, I got to go. Instead of taking the time to see if God wants to speak through me at that moment. It's a choice that we make every single moment of the day. But I do know this. God has said, I've given you my Holy Spirit. You are my witnesses to the world. He could have done it by himself. We could see him just visually around all the time. But he says, no, I'm going to use you. You to be my witnesses. Not just images, but my actual witness. Let me live through you. So today, as we close, you know, who am I? I am one who has joined the search party to find the lost for Jesus. Is that the cry of our hearts? Lord, help me to become joining you in your journey to seek the lost. I can't make anybody be saved, but I can share the truth. And let him do his work, and let him reveal, because I don't know what somebody needs to hear, but he does. You know, have you responded, if you don't know Jesus, have you responded to this pursuing, respectful, seeking God who desires that relationship with you, who wants you so desperately? Have you begun this journey of friendship with him? All it takes is turning to him and saying, I believe what you said you did on the cross. I believe that you really did take my sins and cover them by your blood. And because you did that, I come to follow you the rest of my life. Help me do that, Lord. Help me follow you. It's really that simple, and it can be that challenging as well if you don't want to surrender to him. For us who have been saved, we can continue to celebrate today that what he has done for us, that we walk in faith. We have a joy that I don't have to perform for God. I have a relationship with him, that I can walk with him and let him speak to me and draw me into a deeper relationship with him. It's absolutely beautiful. So for you who know Christ, my encouragement to you this week is to share how God has found you. In your journey, how has God found you? And share that with somebody this week. Share your testimony of how God ministered to you so that you come to know him. It might be because somebody shared their relationship with you. It could be because somebody gave you a Bible and you read it for the first time in your life. It could be because God, you were in a circumstance that you needed to know the peace of God and you heard a song on the radio. Or you got a letter in the mail. Share your testimony with somebody else. God is seeking them out. And he wants to use you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are pursuing. You desire us, Lord. And you're relentless in your love. Lord, help us to join you as you pursue others around the world. Lord, you're speaking to people in this sanctuary this morning on how you want to walk with them and what they need to do to surrender parts of their lives to you. Lord, help us to do that. Give us courage. May we fall in love with your overwhelming love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who am I that the King of Kings would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love. Sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his love, grace runs deep. I was a slave to sin, and Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, world is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. I'm redeemed, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I'm redeemed, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Let's sing that again. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am.
Lord, we thank you that we are set free because of what you did on the cross, and we get to celebrate you today. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.